Scripture reading this evening will be Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It reads, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light."
Those words that we just read from what Jesus does when he offers that invitation to men to come to him communicates to us something about the nature of our Lord that we would all do well to imitate, the gentleness, the meekness of Christ. And as we come near the end of Paul's list in our study of the fruit of the Spirit, we come in verse 23 of Galatians 5 to the quality of gentleness, sometimes translated as meekness, sometimes humility. And it's a quality that we see and we recognize in people who are very easy to approach, people who are easy to talk to, people who are easy to get along with, even in times of turmoil, difficulties may arise, but you have a person of a nature that is of a gentle nature, and it enables one to approach without fear of any kind of issues, problems resulting in that situation. It's kind of like if you were to try to choose someone who had the approachability of a lion or a Labrador, which would you choose? You know, you're talking about someone who is harsh, someone who's aggressive versus someone who's gentle in their demeanor. And so as Christians, obviously, we want people to feel like they can approach us, like they can come to us, like we are going to treat them in such a way as to show care and show considerate nature toward them. And this is certainly what we, when we seek to reach souls that are lost around us, when we seek to be the kind of brother or sister in Christ that we need to be, when we have this disposition, it's going to aid us tremendously in our efforts to fulfill our responsibilities to the world and to our family in Christ as well. So tonight we're going to be talking about the meaning of gentleness or meekness. We'll look at some examples of men who were gentle, who were meek in their spirit. We'll also talk about some things relating to the manners of meekness, because that word is found many times in the Scriptures, and we'll look at how it is used and some things that characterize that sort of behavior. And we'll look at these things tonight. So let's look at the meaning of this word. The Greek word at the beginning of Galatians 5 verse 23 is the word praeotes, and it is defined by a number of lexicons. One of them says it is mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit, meekness, and is translated as meekness, gentleness, or humility. Another lexicon puts it this way: the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. So that carries more the idea of humility. You know, you're not full of yourself. And it gives translations like gentleness, humility, courtesy, considerateness, meekness. And then a third lexicon says gentleness of attitude and behavior, in contrast with harshness in one's dealings with others. Gentleness, meekness, mildness. And so it is just the opposite of an arrogant, boastful, haughty, harsh sort of disposition. Nothing like that. And so the Scriptures show us, in fact, very clearly that whoever exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus said that in Matthew 23 and verse 12. So this is the spirit that we're talking about, that each of us should desire to cultivate in our own lives, and it'll be a great aid to us in dealing with the people in our workplace, in families, in the church, in any situation where we have to deal with people, and especially when difficulties may arise, you have this kind of a proper spirit, and it will aid you in getting through those trying issues that may come up. But let's look at, for a moment tonight, some of the men of meekness that the Bible sets forth. We think certainly of Moses in the Old Testament, because Moses is set forth by God, Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, and we're told about Moses that he was very meek or humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. He was a great leader. He led from bondage to freedom. He was a man who had a great demeanor about him. He was, you know, at the very beginning of his ministry, afraid, hesitant, didn't want to be chosen for that particular work, and yet God knew the kind of man he was. Someone once said how sweet it is when the strong are also gentle, and Moses was that kind of a man. He wasn't prideful. You remember his words in Exodus 4 and verse 10. Moses said, "O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech, slow of tongue." He didn't see in himself something that was worthwhile to God. He was certainly not lifted up, but he was of a humble disposition. Moses is one who many times interceded for the people to God because of their own waywardness, a man of humble and gentle disposition. And he was one who so many times was faced with challenges where it would have been easy to get very harsh, very hateful toward people because of the kind of treatment he was getting. And yet he didn't respond in that fashion. He turned to God. He appealed to God. He pleaded with God so many times. But very meek, God says, more than all other men at that time. But we find another example in the life of the second king of Israel, David, who God had chosen to replace Saul because of Saul's sin and departure from God. But it was in that very relationship between Saul and David that we see the meekness or gentle disposition of David coming out. Because there were numerous occasions after Saul's realization that he was going to be replaced and that David was going to be the one to replace him, that with his animosity toward David, Saul began to hunt him down as if he were some animal. And there were times when David's life was seriously in jeopardy, and then the tables were turned so that David and his men could have taken the life of Saul. And there were numerous times when David called out to Saul and pleaded with him. He showed a gentle disposition as opposed to the harsh one that he could have had, and spared the life of this king over and over again. In 1 Samuel 19, verse 18, we're told about David's response to Saul's efforts to kill him, that David fled and escaped and went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. So David dared not lift up his hand against God's anointed, but he did have a gentle disposition toward Saul. He didn't have vengeance on his heart. He had a totally different attitude, and this is one worth imitating. There will be times when people will provoke us, times when the natural human response might be vengeance, and yet the way of the Lord is a gentle disposition as opposed to harshness. One that lowers self is lifted up before God. And this is the attitude we're seeing in David, certainly here. Of course, there's the example of Christ himself, who said, as we read from Matthew 11, verse 28, beginning, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If there's anyone who characterizes that spirit of being easily approachable and you could go to him for any problem, any situation, it's Christ. Anyone who needed help, Christ was ready to help them, meet their needs. He was there for the multitudes. He was there for the individuals. He reached out and he ministered but His spirit was always one of gentleness. It doesn't mean that Jesus at different times did not respond appropriately to hypocrisy and the evil of religious leaders at time when He called them out. And in Matthew chapter 23, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," He repeated again and again. And yet here is a Savior and a Lord, a Master, who throughout His ministry shows us the example of a gentle disposition in seeing souls in need, ministering to those needs. That's the nature of one who has this kind of spirit. We have people around us lost in sin. We have people who are going through hardships in their lives. And all these different situations call for a person who can step in with this gentle disposition and with that spirit reach out and touch their lives and meet their needs. As we see in Christ's reaction to His treatment, enduring the scorn, the rejection, the persecution, while faithfully doing the will of His Father, we see over and over again the attitude that we're talking about tonight. In Matthew 21, verse 5, it describes the one who came into Jerusalem, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So here is Christ coming, and His entrance into Jerusalem even, this mighty city, coming as the King of Kings, was, again, with this word carrying the idea of not only gentleness, but this lowly disposition, a humility. That's the way of Christ. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, describing to us the mindset of Christ, who Paul spoke about in the previous verses, was the attitude of esteeming others better than self, ministering and being concerned not about one's own needs, but also the needs or the interest of others. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery," that is something to be grasped and not let go of, "to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." So the person who is of a gentle disposition, who is humble in their nature, is one who is able to lower self to serve whenever that need arises. And with that spirit of tenderness, the mildness of disposition, the meekness we're talking about, will show that care and compassion to the people who have needs, as Jesus did over and over again. But number three, let's consider some passages that teach us about the manners of meekness. In Zephaniah 2, in verse 3, the word is used there. And it says, "Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld His justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger." Speaking to those who in a time of national departure from God's will, pleading with those of this kind of spirit, the humble spirit that is willing to acknowledge waywardness before God, willing to lower self, will have the attitude of submission to the Lord's teaching. And He's pleading with God's people. All of those, He says, who are the meek in the earth, seek after these things. And then when God's judgment comes, because you've chosen this way of gentleness or meekness, you've sought after these good qualities, righteousness, He says, justice, humility. When the day of the Lord comes, that is when His judgment comes, you'll be spared. This is the hope that we can have as God's people in a world that is often harsh, in a world that is often full of pride. We can be a different sort of people, reflect a Christ-like nature, be ready at all times for the coming of the Lord, because the people who are meek are the ones the Lord said in His Sermon on the Mount would inherit the earth. We are the ones that God will bless in the end. A new heaven, a new earth that God has prepared for the righteous. In addition, we have Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13 that say this about the manner or the nature of meekness. It is something that as a child of God, you're to wear in your life, put it on, he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. So here you are, chosen of God, the selected people, God's picked out from the world. What are you to do? He says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, and then the word is meekness, along with the others that follow. So here, this gentle disposition, God wants you to put it on, so that when you go out to work, when you have to deal with those family members that maybe can provoke or stir up feelings that don't make you want to feel so gentle, yet you will be anyway because you've put on the quality of Christ-likeness in this particular narrow aspect that we're looking at tonight. The meekness, the gentleness, being considerate toward others, having a humble attitude, vitally important. It's a word that is used in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, when it talks about how that women are to demonstrate qualities that they can put on that are not external in nature. It's not about outwardly beautifying yourself, but he says, here's something far more important. 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle or meek and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So here is beauty described for women. He says, this is true beauty. This is the kind of spirit that God looks upon and he sees with great favor as one who walks according to his ways. In addition, James 1 and verse 21 says this, therefore lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Why is the meek spirit so desperately needed by not only God's people, but it's needed by man in general, so that our hearts will be receptive to the word. This is the kind of heart that James says one needs to have so that he can receive the word, plant it in his heart, and it'll bring forth its fruit. Meekness will enable each one of us to step back, begin to examine the lives that we are writing each day, how we're living, what we're choosing to do. And that humility of heart will let us see where we've gone wrong, where we have to make correction, where there are things we need to go back and try to make amends for, where in the future what we write in our daily living will be a different picture than it was in the past. We can change, we can see our faults, we can acknowledge our faults, we can adjust our lives and become what we need to be. God's word can only be received if our heart is humble and lowly because there are demands that it makes. There are requirements that are not optional. There are things that God says to us through his word that many times, as we see in the scriptures, were hard for people to hear, so much so that even when Jesus himself is on the earth, people turn away from him and reject him, will not follow him any longer because truth can be hard to bear or hear because of our hearts. When our hearts are resistant, when they are not meek and humble and lowly, there will be opposition and the word of God can't penetrate a hardened heart. So we must have this meekness so that whatever we're told, when it comes from God's word, we're ready to receive it. A teacher teaches you from God's word. A preacher preaches to you from God's word. An elder begins to talk to you from God's word about the nature of something amiss that they have seen in your life. What is your reaction going to be? How do we receive the truth? If our heart has this quality, praeotes, gentle, humble, meek, We can receive the Word to the salvation of our souls so that we'll be benefited. We have to exhibit this quality in our conduct as well. James 3, verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." It's tied here to the living of a child of God. Again, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with" what? "Meekness and fear." So here you use this particular attitude. You have this quality about you so that when people are questioning you, when they ask you, you can respond to them. And you do so in such a way as to draw them closer to the truth and not push them away. Because you can answer somebody who asks you in a way that will actually drive them away. Or you can answer in a fashion, as he mentions here, with meekness and fear, that will help people to understand the truth, desire to follow the truth, and then we can help them to obey the truth as well. And so, a necessary character quality, that is, that we need to have in our lives to help us in our defense of the gospel and our giving answer to those who ask us. It's something to show to all men. This word is used in Titus chapter 3 in verse 2, where we're told, "Remind them," Paul tells Titus, "remind the brethren to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be," now here he starts telling them how to act, "to be peaceable, gentle, showing all praeites," which is translated here humility or meekness, "to all men," he says. So here, he's talking about having this disposition that in terms of our rulers, we're willing and ready to submit, be subject to be obedient. Are we law keepers or are we law breakers in our daily lives? Small things, little things. You can show the world whether you are that kind of person that keeps or breaks law. And that matters to the Christian because God commands us to submit to all those things. And then he says, in terms of your relationship to other people, you don't speak words of evil about or to anyone. Use wisdom in terms of how you use your tongue and do it in a Christ-like fashion. And in terms of the nature of dealing with people, how you treat them, those words are used, peaceable, gentle, and then you show all this meekness, this gentle disposition, this humble attitude toward everyone, he says. It's always on. The Christian doesn't go forth and have a switch for his gentleness, his other good qualities, any of the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit that is at any point switched off. It's always on. Always the way that we deal with people. It's at home with our family members. It's out in public. It's far away from home if you have to travel. However you deal with people. It's people that you deal with that are beneath you down on the totem pole in the business world. Sometimes people take advantage of their power positions and anyone below them gets treated like dirt. Not the child of God, though. The child of God treats everyone in this fashion, with gentleness, with meekness, as a Christ-like spirit in all things. This word is also used in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. A very important usage here because it has to do with the situations that arise where our own brethren fall into sin, and we go out to try to get them back. But he talks about the disposition we're to have. He says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So someone is in sin. Doesn't matter what it is. You know, some things might be a little easier to deal with in a gentle fashion than others. But the Lord makes no distinction here as to some ways you deal with gently and some things you come down on them like a ton of bricks. No, he says when someone is in sin, when they've been overtaken in sin, they've stumbled into it, you go there and in the spirit of meekness or gentleness, you restore that person with that attitude that will help you to get them to come back. Because if you go in the wrong attitude, they're not going to want to respond. But you have to be gentle. And that's the spirit that Christ had, certainly. In dealing with our brethren, that is needed in so many situations. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 and 25 remind us that the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. That's not the word there. But then he goes on, able to teach, patient, in humility or meekness. That's the word being used tonight, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. So he uses it here in connection with dealing with brethren. But specifically, it is using this gentle or humble attitude when you correct brethren who are in opposition. So these are some who've risen up and they have this attitude. They are opposing perhaps the ways of right, maybe by their living, perhaps even by their teaching, he's suggesting here. But the way in which you approach them, again, is with this attitude. What we're trying to do is deal with everything in such a fashion as to make the outcome which God desires possible. So you're wanting to have those who are living in opposition to stop living that way, to correct their ways, and to get in line with right living, right teaching. But the wrong response, the wrong word, the wrong way of dealing with people will just cause sometimes hearts to be hardened, them to dig their heels in, and they won't change. Whereas if we take this gentle approach with people, it will help facilitate. It's the best possible way to facilitate the dealing with that problem that will cause it to turn out in the positive fashion that we want it to and that God wants as well. And so we have to take the high road. There will be times when we're tempted not to be gentle, and yet we have to be. Because again, it's emphasized over and over again in scriptures that relate to our dealing with men in general, but within the church and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So this is critically important in how we approach and deal with problems that arise. He says, interestingly, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 10 and 11, where Paul is urging Timothy to seek after the right things, and he's urging him to teach others to put their heart in the right place, to desire and long for and heap up for themselves, not wealth, not riches, but spiritual qualities. And he certainly urges Timothy to take this course himself. Notice what he says. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So he says, here's the path of some, and they've destroyed themselves. But you, O man of God, flee these things. So don't go after the greed that has destroyed many. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and the last one is gentleness or meekness. So here are things that are worth more than the riches of all the world. Here is Paul writing to a young evangelist, urging him to be what he needs to be the most effective soul winner and brotherhood influence in the community, in the locality where he was working, to affect souls positively for the Lord. And these things are another little treasure trove of characteristics and qualities that we need to look at and say, hey, these are things I need to develop. These are things that will help me to be a better soul winner, one who can effectively deal with my brethren and help the church where I am. Lowliness, gentleness. He has beautiful qualities enumerated here. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, gentleness is mentioned as a part of walking worthy before the Lord, beginning in verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and then gentleness or meekness. And he goes on. And so you can't walk worthy of the Lord, the calling that is from heaven, when you leave that particular quality, that characteristic, behind and don't incorporate it into your life. Again and again, we see the teaching of the Lord on this. And in the end, there are mansions awaiting the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5 and verse 5, we know we're not going to inherit this earth. It's going to be destroyed, but there's one going to be prepared for us, being prepared for us, and that we will one day inherit. As one brother put it, regardless of who holds the civil titles to the properties of the earth, this is our Father's world, and the meek are His children and heirs. And of course, we are heirs of the new heavens and the new earth wherein righteousness dwells. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 through 23, the Scripture says, therefore let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. The Apostle Peter wrote of that place that we will one day inherit in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, the new heavens and the new earth. The faithful child of God has the promise that God has given to us, that one day our home will be there. We'll inherit that place where the mansions are waiting. We will live in those mansions, as they're called, in the new body that will never see death. We will be present there with the faithful of old, and we will be in the presence of God as well, the Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of these blessings are for the meek, the gentle, those who, like Jesus, walk in this disposition that enabled Him to reach so many souls, to be someone who men desired to draw close to and approach and to learn from, one who brought salvation to the world. We, in turn, can bring that salvation that Christ has brought to the world and deliver it to men by communicating the message with this Spirit. When times come and we face hostile folks, problems may arise in various circumstances we have to face in life, this is the Spirit that will help us to get through those matters, those obstacles, in a way that will not bring shame to God, but will actually glorify and honor His name because of the approach that we take that is Christ-like in nature. Tonight, if you reflect upon your life and you realize it's been lacking, and that you haven't displayed this quality, know that God can and He will help you to grow and develop that. If you need to come and ask for the prayers of the church for any issues that you may be struggling with in your life, the church will do that for you, pray on your behalf. You have a family that cares about you here. And if you're not yet a Christian, through the process of faith, that is believing in Christ, that He's the Son of God, turning away from our past sins, acknowledging, that is, confessing our faith in Jesus Christ, and being washed in baptism by the blood of Jesus, God will add you to His church, to the family. And you can be a part of that family who is taking on, in a process of growth, the qualities and characteristics of Christ Himself, who is helping us day by day on this journey, that we might one day be at His side. Tonight, if you need to come responding to His invitation, we invite you to do that as we stand and as we sing.